Father, as we come to this portion of Acts and as we see the amazing works of your Spirit, inspire us and move us to action and help us to see again how powerful and significant the gospel of Jesus is. Amen. Well, it was getting late and the Soviet officer had beaten and tortured Paulus for many hours. "We are not going to torture you anymore," he said, smiling brutally. When the Christian looked up, "We'll send you instead to Siberia, where the snow never melts. It's a place of great suffering. You and your family will fit in well." But Paulus wasn't depressed. He smiled instead. "The whole earth belongs to my Father, Captain. Wherever you send me, I will be on my Father's earth." The captain looked at him sharply. "We will take away everything you own. You will need a high ladder, Captain, for my treasures are stored up in heaven." Paulus still wore that beautiful smile. "We will put a bullet between your eyes," shouted the captain, now very angry. "If you take away my life in this world, my real life of joy and beauty will begin," answered Paulus. "I am not afraid of being killed." The captain grabbed Paulus by his tattered prison shirt and screamed into his face, "We will not kill you. We will keep you locked alone in a cell and allow no one to come in and see you." "Oh, you cannot do that, Captain," said Paulus, smiling. "I have a friend who can pass through locked doors and through bars. No one can separate me from the love of Christ." The gospel was preached at Pentecost and it gave rise to the new birth of the church. Luke says in Acts 2:42 that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and all the believers were together and they had everything in common and they enjoyed the favour of all the people, and the Lord did remarkable things. He added to their number daily. So here's a lovely picture of a newborn church feeding on this milk of the gospel and growing on the basis of sound teaching. It's a picture almost too good to be true. No arguments over doctrine, no disharmony before the Presbyterian Church, and no one lacking anything. And this new community shared all their possessions and no one was in need. So I hope you've got your Bibles open to Acts chapter 5. Please join me here because we move on to see a remarkable turn of events. In Acts 5, in verses 12 to 16, we see that the gospel is preached and testified to by wonderful signs and wonders which validate the preaching of the gospel at that time. And Luke tells us as a result in verse 14 that more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. What a remarkable series of events. Nothing and no one, not even Ananias or Sapphira, could stop people coming to faith in Christ. And God blessed the early church and they grew in numbers. But see, as the Sadducees and the religious leaders opposed Jesus at once to his face, now they oppose the message of Jesus being preached among the people. And the story swings on Luke's account in verse 17. You'll see it there. "Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, they were filled and overflowing with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in jail, but not so quickly, because during the night an angel of the Lord opened the doors and let the men out." And then, rather provocatively, the angels tell the men to stand in the temple courts, you know, right in the face of the religious leaders, and tell the people the full message of this new life. So soon enough, the apostles find themselves appearing before the Sanhedrin, who are the full assembly of the elders of Israel. And they are questioned by the high priest, who complains that they have filled Jerusalem with this message about Jesus. And Peter and the other apostles reply in verse 29, "We must obey God rather than men." "Oh, the God of our fathers," he says, "raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on the tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Saviour, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. And we are witnesses to these things," the apostles say, "and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." And when they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. Do you hear the gospel there? The death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Yalom Shankar, a Christian pastor, was brutally murdered on the 17th of March 2022 in central India, not long ago. Five masked men broke into the pastor's home, dragged him out and stabbed him to death. The body was taken to the coroner before it was handed over to the family. And the 50-year-old pastor is now survived by his wife, two sons, and his grandchildren. The family in the entire Christian region, of course, are appalled and devastated that such a thing should happen. A local Christian who wishes to remain anonymous said, "The Christians in this area have been facing intense opposition from the radical Hindu nationalists. Several times, Pastor Shankar defended Christians from radical Hindu nationalists, and that could be the reason for this extreme form of persecution, of killing." Pastor Ibrahim leads an unofficial church in Yemen. In March this year, same month, while the church was meeting for worship and prayer, a dozen armed men burst into the church and aimed their weapons at Ibrahim and the congregation. The leader of the armed men pointed a gun at Ibrahim's head, threatening to kill him. Ibrahim prayed and encouraged his congregation, "Be at peace. In a few moments, all of us will be with Jesus." However, the armed men changed their mind and left the building. In Indonesia, a young Muslim boy brought home a Christmas care pack and with great excitement showed his mother. He began to read the comic book about the life of Jesus, the book called He Lived Among Us. And when his father came home and saw the Christian book in his hands, he ripped it out from him and he threw it in the rubbish. And the young boy was very sad. That night, his father was troubled by what he had done and felt a voice urge him to get the book out of the bin where he had thrown it. And he got it out of the bin and he began to read that book for himself. And in the early hours of the morning, he read about the love of God that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through his testimony, they became Christians and the whole family were baptized. Please don't think that God can't do miracles amongst us. We must obey God rather than men. "Lord Jesus, it is for thee that I patiently endure this cruel death. I pray thee to have mercy on my enemies." These are the words of Jan Hus, who lived 100 years before Martin Luther. He was a man who paved the way for the Reformation. While training for the priesthood, he underwent a considerable change in his life. And then he spent some time with what he called that foolish sect. And he finally discovered the Bible, where the Lord, he says, gave me knowledge of the scriptures. And I discharged that kind of stupidity from my foolish mind. And as Hus read the scriptures and more trusted the scriptures, he lost his political support and he became an outcast amongst those around him. Eventually, he lost the support of the king and he was excommunicated and he withdrew to the countryside. And in 1411, he wrote papers arguing that Christ alone is the head of the church, that a pope through ignorance and love of money can make many mistakes, and that to rebel against an erring pope is to obey Christ. After being tricked, Hus was imprisoned and it was demanded that he recant of his views. On the 6th of July, 1415, he was taken to the cathedral, dressed in his priestly garments, then stripped of them one by one. He refused the last opportunity to recant at the stake, where he prayed, "Lord Jesus, it is for thee that I patiently endure this cruel death. I pray thee to have mercy on my enemies." He was heard reciting the Psalms as the flames engulfed him. Is it really so hard to witness to Christ in Tamworth? The apostles did not shrink before the Sanhedrin, so how dare I shrink before those who question me? Now, of course, we need to be sensitive to those to whom we are speaking, never shying away, though, from the message and sharing the gospel in the most appropriate way, not driven by fear, but driven by love. At that moment before the high priest, the apostles confronted those who would silence them. "God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Saviour, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." See, do you get it? Jesus, Prince and Saviour, the one who died for sin and the one whom God raised from the dead. And through his sacrifice and victory, God offers people repentance and the forgiveness of sins. This is the gospel which brings victory and life to everyone who believes. Now, you might be a very religious person. The members of the Jewish Sanhedrin were the most religious people. They were committed to their rituals, to their sacrifices they were committed, and to their prayers. There was no one in the community of their day that was more religious than these people. They were feared by people as they strutted around in their fine-looking vestments. But they were the most irreligious people of all. Their hollow traditions could not save them. Their hearts were filled with sewer, and their throats were like open graves. Friends, the Sanhedrin reminds us that that religious people can be the most irreligious people of all. And in their irreligion, Luke says in verse 33, the Sanhedrin was furious and wanted to put the apostles to death. But one of wisdom stood up among them. Gamaliel ordered the apostles to be put outside, and he addressed the Sanhedrin. And his words are preserved in verse 36, and I'll read them again. Jeff read them earlier. "Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied around him." So he was a bit of an attraction, a bit of a magnet. "But he was killed, and his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. Well, after him, what happened? Judas the Galilean appeared in the day of the census, and he led a band of people in revolt. He was a real activist as well. He got people moving and flowing and doing things. But he too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go, for their purpose or activity, if it's of human origin, it will fail. But if it's from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." And this speech convinced the Sanhedrin to let the disciples go, but because they were irreligious, they ordered the apostles not to speak about Jesus. And now the most remarkable thing in some sense of the whole story is told in verse 41. Look at it, verse 41. Doesn't describe my reaction. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing. Get that? Rejoicing. Because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of Jesus. China. A street preacher from the Hunan province, who had been repeatedly detained for his evangelism, was recently arrested by Hunan's police as he was sharing the gospel with an ethnic minority group in that province. On the 5th of March this year, Chen shared a message on his social media account asking people to participate in the ministry of sharing the gospel to China's ethnic minorities. He said, "The Lord teaches us clearly in the Bible that the gospel needs to be preached the whole of creation." The Chinese official account is that there are only 56 ethnic groups in China, yet according to scholars, there are more than 500 ethnic groups, mostly belonging to unchurched, unreached people groups. And he said, "May God help us win their souls in the new year." And then, what did he do? He headed out and put up signs with gospel messages on the side of the road before handing out masks with a Christian message and talking with two pedestrians about Jesus. One woman learned how to pray with him. At 10:49 a.m., Chen sent a message to say that the police had found him again, and they went through his backpack and took out pictures and information and gospel pamphlets. And at 11:02 a.m., his last message indicates that he'd been detained by the police and he was taken away, and no one's heard of him since. Chen was detained six times last year. The local authorities threatened his wife, telling her that if he doesn't stop his activities, his daughter-in-law could lose her job at the school and his granddaughter will be banned from becoming a civil servant or a teacher in the future. Yet Chen continues to bear witness for the Lord. You know what he did? He even brought along his 84-year-old mother during an outreach. He once shared that he used to be a gangster who did many evil deeds. He was also a drug addict who would hack anyone deemed impolite to him. But after he became a follower of Jesus, he has learned to be gentle, patient, and kind. See, do we understand that to be a Christian is to be a witness to Jesus? Any price I could pay in this country is nothing like China. As we keep reading Acts and move into chapters 6 and 7, we come to the life of Stephen, who is framed and brought before, yes, the Sanhedrin again. And like the apostles before him, Stephen is seized. And we read that in Acts 6:12, if you're following. And Stephen pulls no punches as he gives the Sanhedrin a history lesson. Stephen tells them that they are irreligious and totally resistant to the working of God among men, and full of the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazes into heaven and sees the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God in verse 56. So Stephen is taken outside the city and they stone him to death. And on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria in Acts 8:4. Those who had been scattered preached the word everywhere they went. See, despite the persecution and because of the persecution, the Spirit grew the church. Friends, it is the comfortable church that wrestles with comfortable problems. Matters of plaques, hymns and contemporary music, etiquette, tradition, differences in worship style, all of which reflect the luxury of choice. What has gone wrong? We have no right to major on the minors and minor on the majors. In 2011, Thomas Rainer and Eric Geiger wrote a book called Simple Church. And in this book, they argued for, you guessed it, a simple church. And sadly, they conclude, and it's on the screen there, McDonald's is influencing future generations. Churches are not. While the impact of McDonald's is spreading, the impact of the church is shrinking. In fact, most churches are spiritually stagnant and declining numerically. And this decline is in the midst of an increasing population. The church as a whole is doing more and more, and the church as a whole is making less and less of a difference. It takes very little courage to be religious, but it takes an awful lot of courage to be Christian. For being a Christian means turning your life upside down. It is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. It means giving all to the one who gave his all for you. The Lord only asks from us a little bit of courage and a little bit of inconvenience to get our mission going. And it would be a tragedy if you were to do that for me. It will glorify God if you were to do it for him. So let's keep church simple, love the Lord, and be a witness to him. Let's pray. Father, we look back in the days of Acts and see the courage and faithfulness of the apostles. And we praise you for them. We praise you for men like Stephen, full of the Spirit. And as you look through the history of the church and persecution, and most recently the persecution we've just talked about this year, we see that you are equipping people to share the gospel in the most extraordinary circumstances and in circumstances we do not share. So, Father, we pray that you would help us not to be religious, but to be Christian. For we have the Spirit who turns our lives upside down. Give to us only a little bit of courage and only a little bit of inconvenience so that we get our mission going. And Father, as people with your Spirit, we do these things to honour and bring glory to your name, because you call us to be disciple-making disciples, to honour you in this way. So, Father, help us to keep church simple, to love you, and to be a witness to you. Amen.